Welcome to the Industrial IoT Spotlight, your number one spot for insight from industrial IoT thought leaders who are transforming businesses today, with your host, Eric Walenza.
This episode of the IoT Spotlight is brought to you by the Industrial Internet Consortium, which we often refer to as the IIC. The IIC is the world's leading organization transforming business and society by accelerating the industrial Internet of Things. IoT One has been a member of the IIC since 2015, and I've personally always been impressed by their ability to facilitate collaboration between companies to bring new technologies to market and to jointly address topics like security and system architecture, which are fundamental to scaling IIoT adoption. Welcome back to the Industrial IoT Spotlight. I'm joined today by Michael Hildner. Michael is the Manager of Consortia and Standards at TE Connectivity. Michael, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thanks a lot for preparing that talk and giving us the opportunity to present our testbed to the audience.
So before we get into the details of the testbed, just give the listeners a quick background into TE. You're obviously a very large corporation, but you're a corporation that's often dealing with very specific niche technologies, which all of us use probably without realizing that we're using them. So what does TE do?
Yeah, indeed. So TE is a world leader in connectivity solutions and sensors, with the mission, as we call that, to create a safer, sustainable, productive, and connected future. So we are actually engaged in many different business areas, such as transportation, industrial automation, building automation, communication networks, and medical technologies, and many more. So as you said, we are a rather large company. So TE's 2017 sales were at about $13.2 billion, well balanced over Americas, EMEA, and APAC. And also our global presence is well balanced, with about 40 manufacturing sites and 24,000 employees in Americas, 43 manufacturing sites and 29,000 employees in EMEA, and 21 manufacturing sites and 25,000 employees in APAC. So as you said, this is rather large. So myself, I'm with the industrial business unit, which is headquartered in Darmstadt, Germany. So I'm also German. And our traditional focus areas are passive infrastructure components, mainly for harsh environments, passive infrastructure components such as connectors, cable assemblies, etc., or other electromechanical components such as relays and resolvers, and also board connectors and other passive PCB elements, as you said, that are in most of the devices that we are using, but nobody's probably aware of that those are components that are provided by TE.
So, Michael, TE has a very interesting space in connectivity, because you are, say, a very horizontal company involved in solutions across pretty much every vertical. Talk to me a little bit about your involvement in the Industrial Internet Consortium, and then in particular in the testbeds. Why did you as a company decide to get involved in the IIC? And then why are you personally involved in the testbed working group?
So maybe I should first state that I'm responsible for coordinating, executing, monitoring our engagements within standardization and consortia in general, which includes establishing and maintaining cooperations, both vertical along the value creation chain, and horizontal with partners from different areas, such as IoT platform providers. Besides traditional standardization, which we carry out mainly at the IEC, we are particularly engaged in industrial user groups such as Profinet, Profibus International, ODVA, the EtherCAT Technology Group, the CC-Link Partnership Association, IO-Link Community, and so on, where we directly interface with our main customers, the automation system and components OEM, such as Siemens, Rockwell, Schneider, and Mitsubishi. However, with providing active connectivity, which we do now, and thus kind of climbing up the ISO-OC model from the physical layer towards protocol and semantic interoperability, working with partners from different areas such as software and firmware companies and platform providers has gained significant relevance to us. And those companies are easy to get in touch with at the IIC, for example, where we meet exactly those companies that we haven't had a kind of traditional relationship with. So these active components, they require kind of other types of cooperations. And we recognize that the IIC is the appropriate platform to establish these kind of partnerships. And as far as this testbed is concerned, that is a very good example of that cross-functional cooperation. So we have SAP on board, which is this well-known world leader in enterprise applications in terms of software and software-related service revenue. We have IFM, a IIC non-member, a world leader in sensors, controllers, and systems for automation on board. And we have the OPC Foundation, which is the foundation of the Industrial Interoperability Standard, OPC Unified Architecture, or briefly OPC UA on board. And I think that's a different kind of cooperation that we have experienced in these other consortia that I was talking about before. Yeah, and the testbed working group, of course, that provides the opportunity to even extend the scope of the testbed. So there are other testbeds which provide kind of complementary approaches, for instance, machine learning that could also be incorporated in our testbed. And there are always kind of opportunities to engage with these other testbeds and to, as I said, extend the scope of our testbed and as such also extend the scope of our product offering.
Before we get deep into the discussion of this testbed, let's just quickly explain the IIC. So the IIC that we're referring to is the Industrial Internet Consortium. It's a group of, I believe, now approximately 350 companies, primarily technology companies, but we also have end users like Boeing and then government agencies or nonprofits like the OPC Foundation. But all of these companies have a shared interest in developing new industrial IoT technologies, bringing those to market, and then also helping the market at large understand the space, for example, around cybersecurity. And today we're talking in particular about the smart manufacturing connectivity for brownfield sensors testbed, which TE Connectivity is leading together with SAP. So let's dig now into this testbed in particular, maybe starting with the topic of smart manufacturing connectivity for brownfield sensors. For the listeners who are not familiar with brownfield, the difference would be greenfield, meaning a new facility where you're basically investing from zero, building out a new facility or a new production line. In this case, brownfield, we mean that there's an existing facility and the technology is being used to augment that existing equipment or facility. Michael, why did you choose this as a focal point for your involvement in the testbed program?
Our testbed addresses brownfield facilities because there are components in such facilities that are designed and programmed to process a specific task. And for extensions towards IoT functionalities, those original components might not be suitable to carry out the additional burden of additional data processing or something like that. And the testbed proposes a solution to keep those original components while proposing a solution to transfer data from the shop floor to higher level IT systems. So in more detail, so as you probably know or certainly know, So typical automation systems are strictly hierarchical. So we call that the automation pyramid, where local control units, so-called programmable logic controllers, govern the sensors and actuators at the lowest level of that pyramid, which are these typical automation cells. And in brownfield facilities, specifically such PLC, these programmable logic controllers, they were selected and programmed to process the original automation task only and may not be burdened with a heavy IoT data flow. We aim at providing a high volume of sensor data to higher level IT systems. We need to establish a different path than through that traditional path through the PLC. And that's exactly what our testbed is aiming at. So it's about delivering a high volume of near real-time machine sensor data to higher level IT systems to enable advanced analytics without reprogramming or substituting the PLC. And I think that's also an important aspect, and without impacting the real-time operations of the actual manufacturing line.
So before we get into the technical details or the challenges that you're addressing in developing the solution, let's walk through a potential use case. So what would be an example of a manufacturing facility that this could be deployed on, and a use case where it would be providing a solution that maybe otherwise doesn't exist on the market?
This could be used, for instance, to monitor and improve OEE, operational equipment efficiency. So that's a typical example could be to optimize the ratio of consumed compressed air through the number of manufactured items. So the original automation task would use the sensor data, for instance, a position sensor, which enables the counting of the manufactured items and the flow values from a flow sensor, just to keep the process running. So meaning processing the zeros and ones to manage the next manufacturing steps. But there are many more, or there's much more information available from those sensors. So for instance, this flow sensor that we are using for our usage scenario implementation of the testbed, that provides temperature information, totalized flow and current flow values, and all of these values could be made available to higher level IT systems and used for some analytics to, as I said, improve OEE, for instance, to build the ratio between consumed air and manufactured items. And from those values, you could learn that some items required more consumed air than others. And the question then would be, why is that the case? Is there something wrong with the manufacturing line? Could we even improve the consumed air for that particular item? What's different for that item in terms of manufacturing, in terms of the manufacturing process, and so on?
That sounds like it's a very horizontal solution. So basically, you need to collect data from a system and move that up for decision making higher level in the infrastructure. And we're here discussing consumed air, but I guess this could be one of 100 or hundreds of different situations where this would be applicable. Michael, where is the testbed today? So testbeds at the IIC can extend from quite early R&D, really from the ideation phase, all the way up towards basically having a relatively mature solution that's going to market. Where is the technology sitting today for this particular testbed?
We have incorporated the testbed and kind of demonstration case. So there is this real-time automation system incorporated, then the components that constitute the test bed, they are available in such kind of a demo case. We are currently looking for actual manufacturing sites where this test bed could be deployed, which is actually phase two of our test bed. The current status of our test bed includes two or three sensors and demonstration set up for evaluation purposes.
So let's now dive, Michael, into the technical details. So this is probably going to get a bit into high water for me and probably for a lot of our listeners. But I think it's good to push ourselves a little bit and try to understand things that are important and that are not really comfortable for us to deal with. But let's start simple. So what are the, if we think about it at a high level first, what are the different technologies that TE, SAP, and OPC are providing into the solution?
TE provides a retrofittable hardware, which we call the Y Gateway. In terms of product name, it's called the IoT OmniGate module. This is a remote I/O control, which provides interfaces to IO-Link, which is a digital sensor actuator protocol, to an industrial Ethernet, which may be Profinet or Ethernet IP or something else, and an additional OPC UA interface, which facilitates the easy physical or which facilitates the easy integration with upper IT systems. The fact that this is a remote I/O module that facilitates the easy physical integration, because the existing cabling that can be easily reused. So the idea is just to substitute the available or the existing I/O module by that IoT OmniGate component. The core of that testbed, however, is a software component that is installed on that Y gateway, and that converts the IO-Link protocol towards OPC UA semantics. So OPC UA, as you certainly know, provides a semantic data model that can be extended through specific language extensions. And we did that for IO-Link. And that is also currently being fed into a standardization activity together with the IO-Link community and the OPC Foundation. And that's also actually OPC UA's or the OPC Foundation's role here to support us in terms of establishing the connection from that device towards SAP in standardizing that conversion, and also in enabling or in supporting the security mechanism that are required for that additional path. I come to that a little bit later once again, because that is also a very important aspect of our testbed here. So SAP is the platform provider for our testbed. SAP provides a component that is called Blend Connectivity that connects to hardware devices such as our IoT OmniGate on one side, and on the other side, there are several options to connect to SAP tools. We actually implemented two of these options within our testbed. One option is with SAP Cloud System, and the other option is with SAP MII, which is a tool that may be installed at local level at the manufacturing site, SAP Manufacturing Industry Intelligence. The other company that is with us in that testbed is IFM. IFM is a provider of IO-Link sensors, and they provide the sensor technology to that testbed. So meaning the sensors that may be connected to our Y-Gateway or IoT OmniGate respectively.
Let's just go back and explain a few of these in greater detail. So the IO-Link, what function does that provide as opposed to, let's say, a PLC?
IO-Link is at the lowest layer of that automation pyramid. It collects data, or the sensors, they collect data from machines or other types of equipment from the shop floor. IO-Link is a smart sensor protocol. IO-Link itself is standardized as IEC 61131-9. There are different levels in terms of communication performance. So we are using the highest level for our test bed with the sensors that we have applied here. What is particularly interesting is that IO-Link also allows for configuring the sensors from either the IT level or from PLC level. So actually a IO-Link system consists of a so-called IO-Link master, which governs the IO-Link device, which may be a sensor or an actuator. And this IO-Link master, for instance, that is implemented in that IoT OmniGate and may be configured according to the actual automation system needs in terms of cycle times or in terms of other parameters that are associated with sensors or actuators. And the other interface of such an IO-Link master is towards industrial Ethernet or industrial bus system, such as Profinet or Ethernet IP.
So what would this look like in terms of execution? We'd have a Y gateway that would be deployed somewhere on the shop floor. Mm-hmm. Would we then have an IO-Link device that would be installed on every sensor, or what would that the hardware configuration actually look like at the sensor level?
IoT OmniGate that provides 8 interfaces to IO-Link devices. So on the IoT OmniGate or the wide gateway, there are 8 IO-Link masters available that govern those IO-Link devices that may be either IO-Link sensors or IO-Link actuators.
I see. Okay, so we can have 8 devices per master. And when you're saying an IO-Link, is it the case then that IO-Link would be, let's say, a standard, and this system would only work with devices with sensors or actuators that are, can we say, IO-Link certified or that use the standard? And if it's a sensor that does not, data would not be transferable into this system. Is that the case?
Yeah, right. So actually, digital sensors would work, or any digital sensor would work, meaning any 0-1 sequence could be transferred towards higher level IT systems, but it would not make any sense. So what is particularly interesting is that any IO-Link device is obliged to deliver a so-called IODD file, which is originally intended to be used for configurations for configuration purposes. So for instance, whenever you integrate an IO-Link sensor into your automation system, you use that IODD to set the basic parameters. And we use the information from such an IODD file for that conversion that I related to earlier. So we convert the IODD information to OPC UA semantic model so that there's kind of one-to-one association of all parameters that may be set for an IO-Link device and the OPC UA data model that is used for data exchange with the platform.
Clear. So there's two big challenges here, right? I suppose one is that many sensors out in the field currently have lack of bandwidth to deliver this data up the stack. And the second is that just because zeros and ones can be delivered doesn't mean that they have any meaning as they're transferred to other systems. And what this is doing is providing the semantic model to provide meaning to the data so that you can actually know that this is temperature data, for example, and there's a timestamp and you can make use of that. The software that you mentioned, is that software written by TE, written by SAP, by OPC, or jointly developed during the testbed? Because you mentioned that this is the most crucial part of the system, or let's say the part that's maybe not already fairly mature in the market. who's responsible? And also, if this is a somewhat of a collaborative effort, who actually owns the IP that you're creating in this testbed?
So the OPC-UA stack, that is available from commercial vendors, and there's also a open source implementation available. But the language extensions to convert the IODD towards, or the language extensions that include the semantic model that extend the basic OPC-UA functionality by that IO-link conversion, that is something that my company implemented on top of the basic OPC-UA model. That is currently being standardized, as I said earlier, so with the IO-Link community, and I suppose that this will also lead to some changes in the original software implementation. And I suppose that this will also be commercially available at some point in time. So what we are currently providing with our IoT OmniGate is a kind of proprietary solution at this point in time, but we will also certainly switch to that standardized solution once the standardization activity is concluded.
Let's talk briefly around cybersecurity. So brownfield sensors are potential weak points. They might be older. They might lack the brain power to host strong cybersecurity software. Is that a component of this testbed? Also figuring out how to safeguard these sensors and actuators when you're collecting data? Or is that something where you're saying right now you're just focusing on figuring out how to collect the data and manage that? And there are other companies that are working on the security of the solution.
No, actually, that's really a crucial part of the testbed. Maybe also one step back here. So in original automation systems, a PLC would protect anything that is below that PLC from attacks from the upper level IT systems. So the PLCs, they typically implement kind of the safeguards against any attacks from the upper levels. Now with this additional path established by this IoT OmniGate, we establish also an additional threat, which is kind of underneath the PLC. So this OmniGate component that must implement security mechanisms that are even stronger than provided by PLC, which may also be not accessible for people working in other than working in that factory. Whereas this Y gateway provides an IP address, is connected to the higher level IT systems. So this is very easy to reach for attackers. That is why also the OPC Foundation is very dedicated to implement security mechanisms for their OPC-UA standard. And we are basically using the most secure that they can provide here. That has also, by the way, also been aligned with the German Ministry of Security Affairs. So because OPC-UA has also been selected as a protocol for platform industry 4.0 applications, and they needed to prove that those security mechanisms essentially worked for such kind of components as we provide here. That's one part of the story, and which is associated with communication security. And the other part of the story is, of course, about endpoint security and privacy issues. And that's more or less up to RCTE Connectivity to provide such mechanisms to that Y gateway. And that is also why we implemented some mechanisms inside the components, such as a TPM after the latest standard addressed platform module, and also other options that came along with the processing unit that we use inside that device for that conversion task. And also, by the way, for some additional computational tasks that this device may carry out, because there's, apart from the real time controller, there's also a M5 implemented that may be burdened with some computational task prior to delivering the data towards the IT systems.
I appreciate the detailed overview. So, Michael, what is the current status of the testbed today?
Yeah, so the testbed was approved in April 2016. And since then, we developed the hardware component, meaning the Y gateway, which is quite an unusual work portion of a testbed. So that work portion even included, as I said, the development of the hardware itself and the software that is running on that hardware that converts the sensor data to the OPC UA. And in a later phase, we established the connection towards plant connectivity by SAP via OPC UA, which is a secure connection. And lately we also implemented a usage scenario. To your question, the status is that the testbed is available as a demonstrator in a kind of box that we carry with us to our exhibitions and fairs. So next opportunity would be at the SPS IPC Drive in Nuremberg in the end of November. And apart from that, of course, everybody is welcome to reach out to me or anybody else of our testbed team through the IIC marketing channels. And we are happy to discuss the details with anybody who is interested in more details.
And is it the case that some of the components of the testbed are already on the market and possible to use in solutions? Maybe you can answer that on a component basis. Or second question, when do you expect that the testbed will actually be market ready and people will be able to not just kind of learn from it, but actually deploy it in their facilities?
Yeah, so we are indeed looking for end user deployments. However, this IoT Omnigate component that is still kind of prototype. We are still investigating on variants with different computational capabilities, which are also implemented within that component. So there are different options also from the price point. Of course, the SAP solutions, they are available on the market. So there are solutions for local plant analytics and also a cloud system that is available from SAP. OPC UA that is available from either there are commercial versions available from different vendors, or there's also an open source 62.541 implementation that is available from the internet. And of course, the IO-Link that is, I think, evolving quite quickly. There are many sensors nowadays available from a bunch of vendors, including, of course, IFM, our testbed partner, that is offering a quite extensive range of products in this area.
Great. And I should just note now for the listeners that the IIC is becoming more open towards inviting non-members who are end users, so not technology providers, but who are an operator of a facility, a manufacturer, to participate in testbeds as a deployment site. So if you're interested in learning about the technology, accelerating your understanding of these new solutions, then please do get in touch with the IIC, with Michael, or with me, and we can help to figure out how to get you involved in this testbed or one of the other testbeds that the IIC is hosting.
Michael, there's also a strategic aspect to this. So certainly, standards have long been somewhat of a battlefield among technology providers in terms of we see this playing out with 5G right now, but we've certainly seen it in the Ethernet, the different kind of flavors of Ethernet as well, kind of controlling the gateway or the entryway into a factory. How is this evolving? Do you think that we're moving in the near term towards an environment where kind of traditional gatekeepers, which would be maybe Schneider and Siemens and GE of different domains, are losing some element of control over their customers as we start to have technologies such as this that allow communication across a wider range of technologies? Or are we just moving into kind of a different stage where maybe the standards battlefield is shifting to a different position in the stack? How do you see this playing out strategically?
I think the original automation tasks and the technologies that go along with that, those are still governed by such OEM component providers like Siemens and Schneider. But I think those components, such as we provide with that Y-Gateway, they offer an opportunity to provide added value to the automation tasks. So by providing these data to the platform level. So I know that there are also these ideas of a soft PLC and running the PLC in the cloud and things like that. I still think that most manufacturing sites or manufacturing site owners think in the conventional way and see or prefer the hardware solution to the software solution. You mentioned 5G, of course, that's also a way towards those computational power inside the cloud systems, maybe to substitute the hardware PLCs of today. But I think we are still in a phase where this is about 5 years ahead. And then there's a huge installed base that needs to be maintained or extended. And that includes many PLCs from such OEM, original OEM component providers. And I think the basic business model of Siemens and companies like that will prevail. But there are additional offerings that are enabled by breaking up the hierarchical automation pyramid. We will have a mixture of many different technologies in future. However, also those companies that you mentioned earlier are very engaged in extending their offering. And my personal perception is that they are also at the forefront of those evolutions. So they are also providing their own platforms that are very dedicated to the specific tasks that we know from the manufacturing space. So maybe also their business model will transform to a certain extent, but I think the competence is still within those companies.
I think that's very well said. So they are evolving. I think you're absolutely right that they're putting out solutions. And then there's going to be some natural tension between the legacy business models and where the new solutions might be driving them in the future. Michael, let's call it there. I think this has been a really interesting conversation. We've probably gone into an area that a lot of our listeners didn't know so much about previously, but is absolutely critical to making industrial IoT solutions work. I think this is really a fundamental technology. When you start talking about anything that's sitting higher up on the stack, if it is not able to have access to real-time data, the capabilities of those systems are going to be severely handicapped. And so there's a lot of attention, of course, on the software layers, the platform layers, and so forth. I think a lot of people just don't realize that the promise that those solutions are providing really is not often realizable if we don't have better solutions for getting data off the edge of the enterprise. Where can people learn more about this testbed? Do you have any upcoming events where you'll be demonstrating? Are there, certainly there's a bit of information on the IIC, but are there any other places where if somebody wanted to follow up and learn more about what's happening here, or maybe more generally what TE is doing in the space, where they could either meet you or online find some more information?
Yeah, of course, online.te.com. It's the IoT OmniGate product that this testbed is related to. Apart from that, our most important exhibition in Europe for the automation and control business is the SPS IPC Drives in Nuremberg, which is held, I think, in November every year. So that's, I think, a good opportunity to have a more detailed discussion on the capabilities of that device and the testbed. And of course, as you said, we are engaged, very engaged at IIC level. So we are always open to discuss the testbed with any member or non-member. Just get in contact with the IIC through the marketing channels. And I think they will always be able and happy to provide or establish the contact with me or somebody else of our team.
So if you're listening, you're welcome to reach out to the IIC's marketing team. We'll put the details in the show notes. You can also reach out to me and I can also make that connection. Michael, thanks so much for taking the time. I really appreciate it.
Thanks very much again for giving me the opportunity to present the testbed and for leading through that very interesting conversation.
This episode of the IoT Spotlight was brought to you by the Industrial Internet Consortium. To learn more about their joint testbeds, white papers, and other collaborative activities, visit www.iiconsortium.org or reach out to me directly, and I'll be happy to make an introduction.
Thanks for tuning in to another edition of the Industrial IoT Spotlight. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at IoT1HQ and to check out our database of case studies on IoT1.com. If you have unique insight or a project deployment story to share, we'd love to feature you on a future edition. Write us at eric.walenza@iot1.com.